fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to continue today to talk about a theme I began yesterday, taken from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, a very powerful passage, and I think a passage that can help us understand some of the trial that seems to be unfolding in our time. And what I mean by that is, friends, pretty much everybody in the world these days, you know, in America and around Europe and other places, is very conscious of how destabilizing our times are. Lots of people are filled with fear and anxiety. People are getting angry. All kinds of emotions seem to be shedding. And this destabilization, a kind of chaos sets in. There's political confusion. There's military conflict. There's terror in different parts of the world, terror in our cities. And so it fills our hearts with anxiety, fear. If we don't keep our eye on the ball, if we don't keep our eye on Christ, the New Testament is filled with wisdom and understanding about how to live through times of great trial, times even of great persecution. And it teaches us that in the midst of all this trial, the strategy of the enemy that's set against us, the ultimate battle, friends, is not between flesh and blood. Our fundamental battle is against principalities and powers and rulers of this present world, this present evil age, Paul describes in Ephesians chapter 6. The earth is not heaven. There are spiritual forces at work in this world, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the enemy, and they're powerful. At various times in human history, the devil's strategy to enslave the human race reaches a fever pitch, and that's the kind of thing we're living through right now. There's an intensity, and we know it doesn't seem like anybody has control over it or can stop what's happening. It's a kind of storm that's brewing across the world. We're not sure where it's going to end or what it's going to lead to. Right now, friends, in the midst of this storm, in the midst of this darkness, part of God's fundamental provision for this time is for the Christian people to be his people, to be a light in the darkness, is to walk with Christ. There's a different kind of strength that's needed than just sheer human willpower. There's a different kind of wisdom that's needed now than just the wisdom of men. We need God's grace. We need to walk with Christ. We need the mind of Jesus Christ. We need the spirit of power, of sonship, of confidence in God, trusting in him. And we're following Jesus. Remember, friends, Jesus' pathway, the road the Father put before him. Jesus came to die. Jesus came to walk to Calvary. Came to walk to Calvary to break the hold of the spiritual forces that have gripped the human heart, darkened the human mind. In many ways today, we're experiencing, friends, this kind of confusion and trial because humanity has literally, in many ways, especially the first world, major portions of the population have walked away from God, have slammed their fists on the table and said, I will not serve. I don't believe in this anymore. I don't want this. I don't want anybody's rule over my life. I will be my own master. When the human race makes a decision like that and then begins to express that rejection of God through rampant immorality that leads to all kinds of addictions and heartbreak and problems, economic problems and family breakdown and despair, when all of that begins to unfold, what we're seeing is not just the result of an economic problem. It's not just the result of particular worldviews. It's the result of the sin that's in the human heart. It's just a manifestation of what's there inside. And it's a sign of the human race falling again back into slavery, how Scripture describes it. And in yesterday's show, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, where the writer of Hebrews describes the essential thing Jesus came to do. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook in the same nature. Jesus took on our nature. That through death, he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus came through his death to destroy the power of death that Satan was wielding over the human race. And he said, and to deliver those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. Jesus came to deliver us from the fear of death. So what do we see? Jesus is the first. He goes to Calvary. He dies a horrible death. But that he knew deep in his heart that the Father, the love of the Father, was greater than any trial or difficulty that he was undergoing. Jesus on the cross was living in the will of the Father. He trusted in the face of trial and persecution, rejection, and the utter chaos of that whole time, and the Holy Thursday night when his friends ran, when he almost stood completely alone. He trusted the Father. He knew who he was. He knew the nature of the battle. He knew what he came to do. And he knew that giving up his life, as painful and as frightening and as difficult as that was, Jesus knew that was the place of freedom. That was the place of victory. That was the place to be because it's in God's will. Friends, the only safe place to be in the midst of confusion and trial and chaos, whatever it is that we live through or are going to live through, is to be in the will of God. Draw near to God. Seek the Lord. Walk with him. The devil's strategy, as it's described here in Hebrews, is to enslave us through the fear of death. You know, think about the chaos and the fear that gets communicated through an experience like we saw just weeks ago when Father Hamel, the French priest Jacques Hamel, was killed by two ISIS terrorists who entered the church. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to instill terror and fear. They themselves are in slavery to fear. That's what's going on. And they become instruments of demonic power, thinking they're doing the right thing. They're going forth, in their case, even in the name of God, to commit murder, to kill innocent people. This is what slavery to the fear of death does. It's a power, it's a disordered energy, friends, that leads people to anger and rage, to bitterness and hatred and unforgiveness. And the only way out, I think, is to wield that very power, the power of death. What happens in that context, what emerges is a culture of death, is a way of looking at the world and end up seeing the only way to have victory is through violence, is through hatred, is through literally wielding the power of death. That's the way ISIS is currently doing it. But it happens in many ways in our society. I mean, for example, the laws now that are emerging throughout Canada and other places in the West, and it's beginning to happen here in the United States, the euthanasia laws. Always masked as a kind of mercy, compassion, love, the rest of it. What is it ultimately? Why is it happening now? Why have we lost our minds and we can't see what our forefathers could see very clearly? We're killing innocent people. People don't have a right to take their life. We belong to God. We're made for God. But we're so gripped by fear, the fear of suffering and pain and loss, and we can't see any hope in it. We can't see any light present there. We can't see purpose in the suffering because we can't see beyond the veil, this dark veil that's fallen upon us, that's dropped before our eyes. It's the fear of death. It's a culture of death. It's a way of life that's dominated by the power of death, which then manifests itself in leading human beings into slavery to fear and slavery to the passions. Friends, that's why porn is ubiquitous. That's why it's everywhere. Why? Because the sexual drive is the strongest drive toward life that we have, just on a physical, physiological level. It's a great power that God has given to us and a great good. But when the human mind darkened, not capable of seeing the purpose of human sexuality, the good, its beauty, its end, we begin to manipulate that power to escape the fear of death. We seek pleasure. We seek ecstasy. We want to escape. We want to run from the darkness and the emptiness that comes into the human mind and human heart in a culture of death. And then we take a good, something that was meant for our good, and like slaves, we manipulate that power. And every time we do it, someone is damaged. Someone is hurt. That's the slavery that the fear of death produces. That's the strategy the enemy's coming after. And then other people respond differently. I'm going to hoard more money. I'm even going to cheat. I'm going to lie. I'm going to steal. I'm going to get ahead. I'm going to protect myself. In that place of fear, friends, we see our neighbor as a threat to us. Who can I trust? There's a kind of panic in the human heart. Everybody's a threat to me. There's limited resources. Everybody, we see this like battle going on. Everybody fighting for these limited resources to get ahead, to be safe. The entire New Testament teaches us about how these powers are at work in the world. And St. Paul summarizes it so well. Hebrews chapter 8, but you are not in the flesh. You're in the spirit now. In the flesh means we're dominated by that old nature that's under the power of death. That thing in me that's unwilling to really run after God and obey God and listen to God and trust God through all this. No, I'm going to grab hold of the reins myself and I'm going to get myself through this. And I can only trust myself. A few others said, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although your bodies are dead because of sin, your spirits are alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you. So at the heart of it, the apostles saw and believed that the resurrection of Jesus Christ broke open a whole new reality. This is where the light is, friends. We see our destiny and our future. We don't have to fear death. Paul goes on to say, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. Right? A spirit of sonship. Paul will say later in Corinthians, we do not lose heart. Though our outer body is wasting away, our inner man is being renewed every day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond compare. The saints in the middle of trial kept their eyes on the glory set before them, friends, and that's what we need to do so we can be free and be a source of love in these difficult times. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.